Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
Oh, Joe says he's more interested in the Trump-Musk Twitter beef than the NBA Finals. I just got into that today. That's crazy what's going on there. Trump and Elon Musk.
Oh, you mentioned it. I had no idea until you mentioned
it. Fighting on Twitter?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it until today. Apparently, I don't know what's going on, but it's two former allies that are now foes.
Can they even fight on Twitter? Trump's not on Twitter, right? Is he having to do it through Truth? Is this a cross-platform social media fight?
I just know that they're, like, taking jabs at each other through whatever platforms they have.
That didn't last long.
When Elon was out of eligibility, they gave him a send-off party in the Oval Office. And yeah,
that's crazy. I watched, have you seen that show on Netflix, the hunt for Osama bin Laden or whatever?
It's in my queue. I haven't watched it yet.
I finished it last night.
Good?
Yeah, it's really good.
Is it part of the Manhunt series they have on there?
Oh, I guess so. I hadn't seen this first Manhunt series I watched, but it was good.
They had one on, Timothy McVeigh.
Was that good?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It gets into, like, the nuance?
Yeah,
I might have to watch that, then. Because I enjoyed the one on Osama bin Laden, getting him. I was always curious to me how The Rock broke the news.
The Rock broke the news?
Yeah, The Rock immediately tweeted about it before, like, anybody knew.
Really?
Yeah.
The actual actor guy?
Yeah.
Wait, really? No, hold on. It was John Cena.
I think it was The Rock.
You talking about when he... Osama bin Laden, John Cena went on TV and said that we have compromised Osama bin Laden to a permanent end.
No, The Rock tweeted it.
Okay. I was thinking on actual WWE television, there's a famous John Cena clip where he talked about we killed Osama bin Laden.
No, Dwayne The Rock Johnson didn't personally break the news of Osama bin Laden's death, but he was among the first to tweet about it, which was before the news officially released the information.
Wow.
And before Obama's address.
Who's his source?
I don't know. I never knew. The Google says he had apparently received the news through a source, possibly someone in the military, and then chose to share it on Twitter. So, like, a lot of people heard about Osama bin Laden being dead from The Rock. Yeah, I mean, I famously remember that.
Yeah, I don't. That's funny, though.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson tweeted about his death 10/24 on May 1st, 2011, 1 minute before former chief of staff and 45 minutes before major news networks broke the story.
Who knew? I did not know that.
It doesn't say the source. There's a rumor that he had a Navy SEAL cousin.
Well, they're not supposed to be.
Better sources than Sarge,
yeah,
huh?
But the Rock broke the news. The Rock broke the news to a lot of people. Anybody that, first person that belongs on the list, Bad Take Boulevard, anybody that said Lance McCullers' threat was an Astro fan. There's a lot of people, oh, you Astro fans, you need to be better. You be better, Astro fan. It wasn't an Astro fan. It was a disgruntled better. We all knew that if you had any sense. So if you're throwing Astro fan under the bus, and you know who you are, then you belong on Bad Take Boulevard.
You just made the list.
Have a memorial, Herman, for using Yordan Alvarez as the model of health.
Let our medical team be yours.
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
What did Rackham Pete say the other day? He said misleading health.
Misleading health, yeah.
Memorial Herman, misleading health. That's good. So Memorial Hermann, hate to do it to you. If you're interested in being a sponsor, we'll take you off Bad Take Boulevard.
You just made the list.
Until you want to sponsor us, and then we'll take you off the list. That's how it works in radio. Did you see George Springer?
I did.
Hopping around on the third base bag the other day. The third baseman kept the tag on. Originally called safe. They reviewed it. Enough on replay review to overturn the call. George Springer hopping on the third base bag. You made the list.
You just made the list.
I mean, all-time blunder. All-time blunder. Sure. What are you doing, George Springer?
Yep.
What has Toronto done to him?
I mean, he's just, obviously he's never going to be what.
I think he's having a good
money
year.
But regardless, he really has been less than he's been a Blue Jay.
Oh, no, he hasn't lived up to the contract. This year he's had a bit of a renaissance, though. 133 OPS plus. That's pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good. He hasn't lived up to the contract. He's only got a .3 war. His defense must be tragic.
They've been moving him around, too. He's right field now, pretty much.
It looks like he's only... Well, he's not only. Let's see. Looks like he's DHing a lot.
Really? Not even playing the outfield?
He's playing the outfield some, but it doesn't look like he's playing
right field.
Yeah, they took him out of center field. Looks like he's still... Well, he's actually played a few games in center this year. He's DH 22 times this season.
Okay.
Trying to preserve him.
They are.
We know he likes to crash into walls, so.
Yeah, he does. So George Springer makes the list. Sarge's source that Brian alluded to, he makes the list too. And if you weren't with us yesterday, here was a take from Sarge's source about why CJ Stroud isn't throwing at Texans voluntary OTAs.
Hey, Sarge, let me tell you something. And let me tell this to you because I like you. Because I know who you are. I respect you and I respect your work. Sarge, let me tell you this. Have you ever sat back and thought that maybe CJ isn't throwing right now because Nick Caley wants to see what he has in Davis Mills?
There you go. Sarge's source with a bad tag. He makes the list, Sarge.
You just made the list!
Bless his heart.
I don't really care too often like who the source is, but I really want to know this one. Really want to.
We won't be impressed.
No, I believe it's a source.
I guarantee 100% believe it's a source.
But I want to know who had this terrible take that only Sarge was smart enough to understand.
It was Cal.
Yeah, so that Sarge's source makes the list. I love how disgusted Blankers gets when somebody else pats themselves on the back. You get, like, visibly upset. Like, you, like, crawl in your skin when somebody pats themselves on their back.
I love how you always think you can figure me out.
Am I wrong?
It is.
I'm great at reading people.
Okay, great. Well, then.
Am I wrong?
Well, then read Braille and do other things to improve the rest of your reading.
It's a bit of a reach.
Sarge annoys me, as you know.
But
why I make the face. Brian was looking for it because I did it yesterday.
You do it with me whenever I pat myself.
Well, there's
on my
another back. One. There you go.
Do you get disgusted
Boom,
when
there
people
we go.
Pat
Jeremy
themselves
Brandon's right.
on their own?
I just, no, not a lot of people.
Just
certain
me.
People.
Just Sarge
certain
and I.
People.
Add Sarge and, Jeremy was already on the list.
Add Jeremy Branham on Twitter.
Yeah, you're
Jeremy
already Branham on the list.
Add it to that text that I, of all the things I hate. Yeah.
The, my favorite part is like, I only do that 3 hours a day. That's my favorite part about it. Anyways, Sarge of Sorts makes the list. Adam Silver had a terrible take about the NBA Finals.
We were going into a Super Bowl and it was Packers against Steelers. You guys would be celebrating that. Those would be storied franchises. People wouldn't be talking about, you know, the fact that Pittsburgh is a small market.
He compared OKC and Indy to two storied NFL franchises. What would be the equivalent, though? Like Jacksonville
Steelers versus Packers?
Yeah, no. Of OKC, Indy.
But Jacksonville, do they have it?
No, I think it'd be the Colts because there is a like for like there.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think it'd be the Colts, and then who would be the NFC equivalent of OKC?
Carolina.
It's not bad.
It's not.
It's not bad.
It's not Tampa, right?
No.
It's not bad either.
I think Tampa's a little higher elevated. I mean, they've won multiple Super Bowls. I think they're a little higher in the national conversation than Carolina.
Market. Yeah. They're both are pretty good. I might lean Carolina over Tampa, but I think both would be in the, like, you couldn't go like anybody in the NFC North. You couldn't go anybody in the NFC East.
No.
Atlanta too big of a market?
Yeah. Yeah. Same with Phoenix. I was trying to think like New Cardinals
Orleans?
Really haven't done anything.
I was thinking about
Phoenix
the Saints, they have won it, but the Saints kind of?
Do the Pacers have a title?
No, Pacers don't
they
have
don't have
title.
Any?
No.
No.
They've been to a final
yeah,
once before this year.
They've
but
only been to one?
Yep.
The year that they had Reggie?
Yep.
They lost to the Lakers. I loved Reggie Miller. Reggie was kind of washed at that point, though, when they got there.
Oh, but he was fun to watch.
Yeah, but he was washed in that finals.
Oh, no doubt.
He wasn't their best player anymore. Jalen Rose was probably their best player then, whenever they lost to the Lakers
in
the finals.
That's when Jalen ticked off Kobe and Kobe. Great series.
Yeah, but he most famously ticked him off whenever he was in Toronto. And then Kobe went off for, what was it, 81?
81.
That was when Jalen was in Toronto. 713-780-ESPN. What belongs on the list this week? PK Subban. Subban? How do you say his name? Subban? I think I get it right. Subban? His NHL prediction, said somebody. I guess.
I don't know.
Put him on the list.
Made the list!
Israel wants to bad take us for our take on Killicam. we'll give Israel a bone. Put us on the list, Brian. Killer Bees making
You the just list. Made the list!
Astros medical staff, misleading information. All right, 713-780-ESPN. A couple more bad takes. Did you see this Magic Johnson take on Old Takes Exposed? That's where I saw it. But he had his NBA final predictions before the start of the conference finals. I had the Knicks beating the Pacers and the Wolves beating the Thunder to advance to the NBA finals.
Oops.
Magic Johnson, 0 for 2. Not
now,
so
now,
Magic Johnson.
Now, that was, you said before the play.
You just made the list.
The conference finals.
Conference finals.
So he was 0 for 2 in conference final predictions. Not
I would have
so
given him some
Magic
credit
Johnson.
If he had the Pacers in the conference finals. Because that's they overachieved a little bit.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Right.
I mean, I think this was right before the final. I mean, the date shows it has it right before the conference finals. Blankers portion of our show. Blankers has two bad takes. The first one, his take on Aaron Rodgers yesterday. Yeah, I mean, I think Flacco will start the year early, too. I think eventually he'll make way to a rookie. Now, what are the chances you think they trade for Kirk Cousins? Is there a better chance that Kirk Cousins is a Brown or a Steeler?
I think it's a Steeler.
So you're out on Rodgers?
I think Rodgers is out. I think he's done.
It's yesterday's show.
That was me.
Blankers makes the list. And then one more.
You just made the list!
From Joel.
You still looking for
John Gruden, Joe Tess take. You still looking for Joe Tess?
I got him.
All right, play.
Texas is back, folks.
That's Joe Tess.
I can hear that.
And there's Gruden.
Shroud him, Stroud.
I don't hear it at all, Joe.
I hear Joe. I've heard Joe Tess do a lot of calls that sound just like.
I mean,
like
you use the one call.
Texas is
hey,
back,
you're
folks.
Playing one call from him, though. I'm just saying. There's.
Why? That's what I had in my
I
disposal.
I agree with you, Blankers. I agree with you.
Texas.
I hear it now. Joel makes the list. Whisper so he doesn't hear me.
You just made the list!
The Mets put out a graphic the other day. Most home runs among shortstops in Major League Baseball. They had Cal Ripken 1, Tejada 2, Hanley 3, Lindor 261, 4, Jeter 5. The only problem, Alex Rodriguez 345 home runs as a shortstop was not on the list, should have been second. Ernie Banks 277 home runs as a shortstop should have been fourth on the list ahead of Francisco Lindor, was not on the list at all. Mets don't know ball. Mets admin is a casual that doesn't know ball. Mets admin, whoever made this graphic, you land on the list.
You just made the list.
How do you leave out an A-bomb from A-Rod? How do you leave out Ernie Banks? Let's play two.
I can kind of see the Ernie Banks thing because he played, what, in the 60s?
But he's legendary.
I know.
He's a whole thing.
I'm trying to
put yourself on the list.
No, I know who Ernie Banks is.
Yesterday.
But I'm just saying I could see the path. But A-Rod is fairly recent. How do you leave A-Rod off?
Well, because he's a Yankee, and he cheated.
Okay, so you're saying they intentionally gave the stat wrong?
They're gatekeeping Alex Rodriguez. But they had Jeter. I mean, Jeter was here as 5. But they missed 2 all-time greats. They had more home runs as a shortstop than Lindor. But they just deleted them because they played other positions late in their career. Unbelievable. New York Met fan, or not even fan,
do
admin.
Better.
You're casual.
Stevie Cohen could pay all that money for his players, but he can't buy an admin team.
Unbelievable. You made the list, admin.
You just made the list!
Kennedy, this Texas Tech pitcher who left Oklahoma. There was a Sooner softball Twitter fan who, whenever she took the NIL deal to go to Texas Tech, take the money, but goodbye to the World Series. They then beat Oklahoma to go to the final two against Texas. But then Kennedy makes the list, too, because yesterday
you just made the list.
3-0 pitch on an intentional walk right down the middle. Texas girl, 2 RBI single, and Texas is back.
Texas is back, folks.
They're a softball school.
I might watch it tonight.
It's a 3-game series, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, best of 3.
And
yeah.
She may pitch all 3 games.
Oh, she will, yeah.
Yeah, she's unbelievable.
Bad decision, though.
I they went back and looked after the game with Van Pelt on SportsCenter. They don't believe she's ever had to throw an intentional walk.
Interesting.
And it's not like baseball where you just can give them four.
Yeah.
The first two were close.
She should just hit her.
Well, the first two were close, and then good on the hitter, because if you screw up there, you're going to catch it.
Yeah.
But that was big.
That was a bad, bad decision. And she owned it after the game. My fault. If she was uncomfortable with throwing four pitches out of the zone intentionally, just hit her. Just hit her.
Of course, especially they would say it's not sportsmanlike, but you're right.
Just hit her.
Because that was the first question. They can't just put up the four pitches, just give her first base.
That is interesting they don't do that.
Yeah.
Because you do that now at every level of baseball. Four pitch, walk them. That is interesting. Yeah, but they both land on the list there. That does it for Bad Take.
You just made the list.
Hope you enjoyed it. Texas is back, folks. Softball school.
B-Max got a chance to get his first women's softball title out of this World Series.
Damn right. Wasn't Osama bin Laden hiding under a rock? Maybe that's the rock he was under. Oh, my gosh. I'm not sure this show's ever going to recover.
That was who sent what? That?
No, Jasper.
Can we ban? Oh, Jasper, the guy with the terrible takes on his sheets, tucking his sheets in.
He tucks his sheets into his mattress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said that wasn't Osama bin Laden under a rock? Maybe that's the rock he was under. That's an all time bad joke. That might be the worst joke I've ever
heard.
What was that?
What was that?
That was supposed to be a boo sound, booing sound effect, but someone erased over it, apparently.
I don't think that was a boo sound.
It wasn't. We are built for this thing. I guess it got.
What is that?
I don't know.
What is we are built from for this?
We are built
the Astros
for
slogan.
This.
From their preseason hype video.
But is that like actually something they said?
It's in the video. It was from a preseason hype video.
It is something from they put out.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
I've never heard that. Whose show uses that?
I think it's Paul and Sean.
Oh, they use that?
Yeah.
Oh. Sarge doesn't have a source. He's a clown. He made that up. It's fiction. I don't believe that. Cash or trash? I trash it. I do believe he has a source. I don't think he made that up.
He talks to enough people that he has a source. It's where do you classify the source? Is it a team employee? Is it and at what level do you take the credibility of said source? But I believe he has a source.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. 713-780 ESPN HRMP listener line. Mets have been on the list since signing Bobby Bonilla, 92. Gave him a bad contract too. All right, coming up next. Texans have to play a top what offensive line in order for the Texans to achieve, to have success. For the Laramie Tunsil move to be a good deal, all of that. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Killer Bees do a great job most of the time.
Crushed it, literal mic drop.
But sometimes they need a little help to make sure they're talking about the right topics. That, well, make the most money.
This is how you're going to make the money.
That's why it's time for the... Wait, Joe, are you forcing them?
Just tell them to talk football.
Okay. Jeez, you're the boss. Here's the Killer Bees corporate mandated football segment.
Awesome. Can we talk about the obstruction play instead? In the game yesterday, Texas back, yay.
No. We just were.
The YouTube wants to talk about the obstruction play in the softball game.
It's football time in Houston. We're ready to play.
I think letter of the law, they got the call right.
Texas is back, folks!
That would have been a horrible look for the game to end 1-0 because of a review obstruction call on a runner that was dead to rights out by a bunch.
Don't stand in front of the base without the ball. Know the rule.
We just went back and forth on this. It wasn't the entire base, and I thought she had the ball and... had 1 foot over the corner.
I'm going to start acting like Lakers and get mad about this. I don't like this at all.
I don't do this either, and I'm not mad about this.
Oh, this is more of a caricature? This is my caricature of blank. I kind of dress like you a little bit today. I got the hat.
But yeah, you both have black hats on. Both villainous with your black hats.
What do we want to talk about?
Texas offensive
you
line,
baby.
I'm picking the topic. Huh? So Texans have to have a top what offensive line in order for
I can't hear you over the music.
You can't hear me over the music?
No one can hear us right now.
Say, evidently, a lot of people can't hear us right now.
Oh, well, yeah, that's something that's unfortunately pretty common. But, no, Texans offensive line has to finish top what in order for this bet on chemistry send out Laramie Tunsil experiment to be a success?
Top 20. Are we done talking Texans now? Can we move? No, I think top 20. Yeah, I think if they're a top 20 offensive line, it'll be a success.
I was going to say top 15.
I mean, that's quite the improvement.
I think they've got to be average. So, I mean, 15 would technically be above average by one. But, yeah, I think the range is like 15 to 18. I think 20 is a little low.
Why? Were they, can we turn? The music's distracting me. I have ADHD. I can't think right now. Like, I don't even know what y'all are saying. Like, y'all are talking. I have ADHD. You can't be. I have sensory overload. Overload.
I can tell.
This is how much I'm distracted by this music right now. I can't even talk straight. I'm madder than a hornet.
It's not very Cal of you.
And plus, I didn't like that we got interrupted. I mean, what were they last year? They're probably bottom five.
Oh, they had to be. Yeah.
So, like, if you went, how many games? They won 10 games. They were 10-7. Won the AFC South. Were competitive in the divisional round. I think they were more competitive in the divisional round last year than they were 2 years ago. That's clear.
Yeah.
Against Kansas City against then Baltimore. So, if they're a top 20 offensive line, I think they're in a good spot.
I think the problem is that I don't have all the confidence in the world that the guys you let or shoved out the door are better. I believe that they might be better than everybody you brought in. So, I think I have lofty expectations by saying top 15.
Oh,
but top 20, I just believe from a CJ running for his life perspective that they got to be better than that.
They were so bad last year.
Yeah.
Like, they gave up 50-something sacks last year. I think it was second most in the NFL. Like, give me top 20. That's a major improvement.
It is, but that's my
major
point.
Major like, improvement.
When you know that that is your biggest weakness and the biggest point of focus for the year, and they really didn't do anything to give me confidence that they made it better other than the OC and a potential system change and getting players that could play that system. I think that they got to be better than 20 for this team to have a fighting chance to go at least as far as they did last year because I don't believe in the personnel that they have.
Yeah. I see. That's why I think top 20 would be a major win.
It still would be a major win, but I'm like, what are your goals as a team then? Because a major win doesn't get you any further, I don't feel, than what they did last year. It probably makes you potentially worse.
I think they're a dark horse Super Bowl contender. I believe they can be a dark horse Super Bowl contender with a top 20 offensive line. I really do. Now, you have to lipstick the pig of a top 20 offensive line. You can't be sitting there expecting your quarterback to have 20 seconds to throw and try to like put together all these explosive plays that Bobby Slowick did. Houston Stressens on Twitter, we all know him. He posted some guy on ESPN, one of their NFL shows, and he was talking about the Texans. He's talking about Nick Caley being like one of the most important people in the NFL this year because if he's good, Texans good, Texans have a chance to be really good. But he was talking about Slowick and their offensive line last year, and he called him an amateur with his offensive line schemes. Like, that's why I think the Texans have a lot of room to grow on the offensive line, despite, I guess, talenting down. Because I think they had more talent on the offensive line last year than they do this year. But I believe the scheme's going to be better. I think the offensive coordinator is going to be better. I think you have better skill around C.J. Stroud so he can get rid of the ball quicker. That's why I'm more optimistic about the Texans' offense than I think most people. And I don't think they have to be this above-average offensive line for them to be good. I don't think it can be putrid like they were a year ago. How do you win 10 games by a putrid offensive line and not think top 20s good enough to carry you pretty far?
See, but here's where I'm at with the fact that I don't think that they upgraded the personnel, but I do believe that Slowick was a big part of the problem. But if you're going to bring in a new offensive coordinator, then don't you think that he could have worked with a Laramie Tunsil and some of the guys that he had previously before they went and just blew the whole thing up? Unless that was part of the problem, obviously.
The reason, in my opinion, that they traded Tunsil is twofold. The first one, I think, is long-term finances. Like, Tunsil's coming up on a new deal. And Laramie Tunsil, an agent of his own, always gets top-of-the-market deals. He's not going to settle for less. I don't think the Texans viewed him as a top-of-the-market left tackle going forward in the NFL, and it's better to trade a guy before you lose all value on a guy. So I think that was the first reason. And then the second reason, I do think it's attitude. They don't love that laissez-faire attitude from a left tackle that you want this dog mentality. Like, I don't believe the notion that Laremy Tunsil was a bad teammate. In fact, it's the opposite. Like, even C.J. Stroud this offseason was talking about how they traded his boy. Like, he loves Laremy Tunsil. I do think he was very well-liked, but he was very chill. He was very laid-back. He's posting his cleat signed by Beyonce after they get smoked. I don't think they love that mentality. And if you need, like, a dog mother mentality on any, like, you really need it all over the football field. It matters in football, but especially in the trenches. So I don't think that they felt he had the dog mentality. I don't feel like they wanted to pay him. So you get value for him before he gets further along in this contract where he's going to want a new one. So I think all of those things were variables.
Sure, and that's fine. But I also think that from the standpoint of if you felt like all those things and you felt you had to move on from him, then I would also feel like they would have done more to bring in higher quality players.
What well, wasn't available to him. From him? It wasn't available to him.
Well, I mean, it could have been.
They tried. They tried to trade up for Booker.
Right, but even before the draft and free agency, you could have been looking to spend money to try and bring in more of a higher quality offensive lineman.
I mean, who was the best free agent left tackle?
I mean, I'd have to go back and look at it, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it's one thing to say that Tunsil wasn't our guy and it wasn't the right fit. It's another thing to say that rebounding from Tunsil and the two other guys you moved on from, that you're going to go and just rely on the draft, and you're going to rely on some guys that have been around football that have just been their career, and say that the system alone is going to make him better.
I don't think they had a choice. I don't think they had a choice.
Because there were some, and I have to look at the names that we had kicked around, and some of them may have been, depending on the price tag.
I mean, Cam Robinson, who the Texans did sign, was listed as Pro Football Focus's number 20 free agent, period. And it looks like he was like the second or third top tackle. So, like, that's kind of top of the market-ish. Ronnie Staley was on here, but Ronnie Staley never hit free agency, right? When he re-signed before he ever entered free agency?
Well, like, Tooney got traded from the Chiefs to the Bears, and that seemed like a low price to pay for a guy that had more experience that might have been a quality.
Maybe there Kansas were guys City want to trade in conference.
I mean,
we don't know that they weren't
you're right.
calling. Like,
you're right.
No
I
idea.
Don't know that, but I'm just saying, I understand if you want to move on from Tunsil
Cam
and
Robinson,
the other guys.
Cam Robinson, according to Pro Football Focus, was the best rated tackle that actually hit free agency.
There are many ways that you could have tried to upgrade this offensive line. I know that they relied on the draft. I'm fine moving on from Tunsil and the other guys as long as I felt like they got maybe not an upgrade with Tunsil, but overall the line got an upgrade.
And Trey Smith was the number two free agent, but he got franchise tagged by Kansas City. These are all free. Ronnie Staley, number eight free agent, but he was re-signed by Baltimore. Scrolling down, next offensive lineman on the list, Pro Football Focus, was number 20, Cam Robinson. The Houston Texans signed, according to Pro Football Focus, the best offensive lineman free agent on their board.
Okay. I don't believe that they upgraded talent-wise.
Well, there's no way of doing that, right, if you have Tunsil.
Right, but
you trade Tunsil,
right.
I mean.
Right, but I mean, if you're looking at Tomlinson, you're looking at some of the guys they brought in, they've been kind of retread guys. They're retread guys that who knows how much tread they still left on the tire. Cam Robinson wasn't a great tackle.
Number one Pro Football Focus offensive lineman in free agency.
Okay, but go back and watch him play with Minnesota and watch him play his whole season last year and go, that's a guy that I've got a ton of confidence in.
Like, I mean, obviously he's not as good as Tunsil, but he's more than likely going to be your starting left tackle.
Oh, there's no doubt.
More than likely. Lakin Tomlinson, probably going to be your left guard.
I think left guard.
Think there's a decent chance he's your starting left guard. I think there's a decent chance Jake Andrews is your starting center.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe better than a 50-50 chance. And then I think there's a chance that Ursary is your starting right tackle. I think that's a possibility. So those are four.
With Titus at right guard?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask that too.
Titus is my right guard.
Okay, and then above Fisher, you think Ursary?
I think he's a shot. Yeah.
Okay.
He was drafted higher. Texans traded up to go get him. Fisher wasn't outstanding as a rookie. I mean, I think it's a camp battle, but I think it's a 50-50 shot that Ursary is your starting right tackle.
So then Juice and everybody else
on the bench.
Just backups.
Yeah. So yeah. Like, if that's your and look, like three of those positions might be coin flips, but in that scenario where Cam's your left tackle, Lakin's your left guard. Jake Andrews is your center. Titus Howard's your right guard. Ursary's your right tackle. You just changed 80% of a bad offensive line. And here's the other thing with Tunsil. Like,
but are you going to be better?
Tunsil is very good. I don't know how he can be worse.
But are they going to be tough? See, that's the thing. That's when we start getting it up. That's why I worry.
The,
like,
real quick, let me finish the point on Tunsil real quick. Like, they had Tunsil last year. Agrees, talented. Agrees. There's no argument there. Once the ball is snapped, pre-snap, different issues. Mm-hmm. He's very talented once the ball is snapped. But even with Laremy Tunsil, who's super talented, they had one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you can have the worst offensive line in the NFL with Laremy Tunsil, you can also have the worst offensive line in the NFL without Laremy Tunsil. So I don't mind trading the most talented player from a unit that's awful. They're trying to rebuild it. They're trying to change the mentality of it.
I don't mind it either. But at the same time, I wonder if what they did to try to move on from him and upgrade the positions and or the productivity of the offensive line isn't going to be enough for a team that's totally loaded everywhere else. That's my biggest concern. That's why I'm like,
yeah,
I want to believe, I believe you're right. If they got to 20, that's an improvement. But as a team, can they build off of that enough to be an improved team if they're only 20?
Yeah, and no, I agree with you that they're less talented, and I do agree that it's a concern. And I even agree on paper that doesn't look great. I'll agree on paper that doesn't look great. But with what they achieved with a bottom-of-the-league offensive line a year ago, I don't think that they have to make this tremendous jump to take a jump as a team. If they go from the 30th best offensive line in the NFL to the 20th, and they were 10-7 with the 30th and pretty close to beating Kansas City at Arrowhead, I think that they have a shot with the top 20 offensive line.
I hope you're right, because the way I look at it is, again, I was pleased, pleasantly surprised, but pleased that they moved on from Tunsil if he just wasn't the fit, because that's this move that they have to make. But overall, my biggest concern is if that's the jump you're taking or you're hoping for with this offensive line, it's the residual effect that it had on CJ all season long. And the fact that if you're replacing what I think is lesser than talent, and I don't have the confidence that they're going to, no matter how they kumbaya on their way to practice fields and such, that on the field they still got a block, that I have deep concerns that it could affect CJ and the entire offense, no matter who your OC is and what system you're running, because I just don't know if they're capable.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's that's the big mystery of the offense for sure. I'm optimistic about it, and maybe that's foolish of me. I mean, time will tell. 713-780-ESPN out to the HRMP listener line. Josh, you're in the Hive. Josh, what's up?
Hey, fellas, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, calling out of Philly, you know, I appreciate you guys taking my phone calls. Seems like, you know, I can't get it answered at any other point of the day, but I got something I want to address, okay? So, as a Philly native, but a Houston resident, okay, I'm worried about y'all with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, man. One thing about the Texans locker room is they're not very outspoken, not very drama-filled, so on and so forth, you know. The comments that number eight made, you know, pertaining to Vic Fangio and the way that he got done, it doesn't seem like, one, anything's really bittersweet or good for him when he decides to go from team to team to team. But just in, like, the press conference of him and his jersey number and stuff like that, I fear or worry that the younger guys in the locker room, like Lassiter and Stingley Jr. and so on and so forth, might be compromised by, you know, Gardner Johnson's attitude and whatnot, being that a lot of this animosity that's coming from Vic Fangio and whatnot is that Howie Roseman's mentality is, you know, hey, we signed these guys to 2-3-4 year contracts, pay the young guys, and we're going to work it back in the draft. I'm just wondering if you guys think that that attitude or that mentality might be a problem or might start to rub off or reflect on some of the younger guys in the locker room, especially a guy coming off of that, you know, I start a new job mentality and I just won a Super Bowl here a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, and, you know, I just so happen to have the experience and I know it all of a sudden. So I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call. I think where you start is the fact that he has won a Super Bowl. He's experienced. And sometimes with what you described, and I don't think you're inaccurate in describing a lot of it of the locker room, but in the fact that they don't have a lot of boisterous personalities per se, and they have the swarm mentality, and they have guys that kind of fit the D'Amico mold. But maybe that's why they brought him in the first place, because he's got experience. Now, the biggest thing is he's got to play. And he's got to be able to play and perform at a high level, which will gain the respect of the locker room as well. But maybe they wanted someone that has a little bit – it's like when the Rockets brought in Dylan Brooks to an extent. You had a bunch of young guys and guys that were trying to find their way or do it the right way, but you didn't have that kind of guy with a little extra. and maybe CJ brings in that extra on the defensive side or in the locker room side, and because he has the respect of being a winner, and if he can still play, that it, that they can use that to, as a strength and an advantage.
I won't dismiss Josh's concern because I think it's a valid concern. It could go either way. Like you drew out the optimistic scenario, which is plausible, obviously. Hopefully it does go that way. But to talk through the, I guess, the pessimistic view and the one that Josh brought up, the Texans won't put up with that. The Texans aren't going to put up with a non-team first guy that puts himself ahead of anything else. And the example we have of that was Deontay Johnson last year. And well, Deontay Johnson's not the same player of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He's Gardner Johnson's better than Deontay Johnson. I wouldn't disagree with that. But D'Amico's not going to compromise his culture for a player. I mean, maybe for like a CJ Stroud, like maybe for a Will Anderson, although they're not those guys. And I think the reason that they were attracted to Stroud and Anderson is because they're not those type of guys. So if it does go sour, which is plausible to Josh's point, and Gardner Johnson has been sounding off about some things and has always been that way in his career and has bounced around to a bunch of different teams, the contract is good for the Texans. They wouldn't owe Chauncey Gardner-Johnson any guaranteed money after 2025. And even the guaranteed money in 25, which he'll make the team, it's only $2 million. His cap number is $9 million. So if like he does act out, okay, well, the Texans cut him and they don't owe him any money in the future. So the reward here is far greater than the risk. Mm-hmm. And because of Gardner-Johnson's contract, the risk really isn't that great.
Yeah, so and that's the thing, too. You're right about what they did with Johnson last year, but also from the standpoint of, we heard that this might be a possibility last year with Diggs. Diggs worked out to be a guy that everybody really liked. That
we now know why, too. He's handing out little Ziploc bags.
We know that the injury derailed what we could see as the full body of work from a season, but with all the concerns and maybe even the way they restructured the contract because of said concerns, he fit in. He worked out. So I see both sides of it as well, but I think gone are the days of the Brandon Cooks of the world that are going to come in and be me, and be, you know, pouty and just, you know.
I mean, it's going to happen.
Extra?
It'll happen. I mean, Deontay Johnson did it last year.
But I think, I'm not, what I'm saying is them putting up with it, right? And just finding a way to kind of just soft sell it, make him a captain or say, hey, we still want you around and we're going to, and look, turn the other cheek. I think you're right. I think gone are the days of, he's on our roster, and we think we can still use him, so we don't want to, you know, rock the boat or do something. I think if he acts up too much, and the big part of his too, and he's not performing on the field, they can and they will and they should move on from him. But I also think that a little bit of what he brings to the defense might be what they've been missing.
Yeah, yeah. That's if you channel it properly, mm-hmm. all of those things. And I do think it'll be that way, especially for a year. Now, Gardner Johnson seems like he kind of wears out his welcome after a year or two. So I don't think he's like a long-term fixture for the Houston Texans. I think he's probably more of a rental. I think he's probably more of a bridge. But to Josh's point about it going sour and negative, well, you can easily get rid of him. His contract is very conducive to easily get rid of him. And you actually have some depth there. Like, I know that Jimmy Ward's injury prone, but Jimmy Ward is a backup. You would think, okay, well, he's a backup. He can play a little bit more because he won't have as many chances to get hurt. Like, that's not a terrible third safety. No. They drafted Jalen Reed, who some people, now he's a sixth rounder, but people seem to like Jalen Reed. Mm-hmm. So they do have some depth at that safety position, too, where if it does go sour, the contract's not bad, and you have Jimmy Ward, who is an NFL veteran that would immediately step in.
And I would add on to everything you guys just said, like the worry of corrupting or negatively affecting Lassiter and Stingley, I would say I'm not worried about it at all for two reasons. One, those guys seem to embrace the D'Amico swarm mindset to the point where I don't think they're going to be affected by some dude that coming in from Philadelphia, getting in their ear and just completely changing who they are as a person and a player. And the other part of that is the Eagles were starting for 25 games last year, two rookie corners, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. Like, the Eagles had no problem putting C.J. Gardner-Johnson in, you know, the same locker room, same position meetings with two rookie corners that they spent first-round picks on, and they turned out fine.
And they won a Super Bowl.
And they won a Super Bowl. So I think this is – I understand the thought of the concern, but I think it's way overblown.
Probably. Probably. But even if it does materialize and happen, I don't really see it being an issue.
Because no, you traded Kenyon Green for it. Move on.
Yeah. Right. You did. Yeah. you traded away a player that you more than likely were not going to keep on your team anyways.
Exactly.
So it's very, very, very low risk with potential high reward. Because, I mean, he is a good player, and he is going to be your starting safety opposite of Kalen Bullock. So, although you had some NFL talking head people a couple of months ago saying he was going to be the Bullock replacement.
Who was?
And some national people. Oh. They don't watch the Texans that closely. Like, oh, yeah, he's going to be the Bullock. They're trying to get Bullock off the field because his metrics aren't this and that. Stop it was just, it. Yeah, it was a bad take. 713-780-ESPN. I'm comfortable with a new O-line whose effort and mindset reflects the head coach. Last year's line was soft and their leader was talented but one-dimensional. If the Texans' offensive line can do 50% better at recognizing coverage and calling out protection schemes, it'll be so much better. That's the other thing, is like, Kaylee, we anticipate Stroud to have more power and freedom if the shoulder's okay. We expect him to have more power and freedom at the offensive line, where Slowik did not empower him. So you hope that that is something that would make the offensive line and at least the protection schemes better. Texter, Urser will be our starting left tackle next year. See, I don't know if this texter means in 2025 or 2026.
Yeah, I don't think it's for this coming season.
I don't think he's starting ahead of Cam Robinson. No. Cam Robinson, in my opinion, is your one-year stopgap left tackle until Urser is ready to take over. Now, the question becomes, who is your starting right tackle? I think that will be a camp battle.
That's really interesting that you brought up Ursary there. I would assume that it was going to be, especially if you're moving Howard inside, I would assume that Fisher's the heir apparent there, at least for this season, especially because, you know, starting a rookie, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a battle. I really do. Whoever has the better camp, I believe, will be the starting right tackle between the two. I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that Howard's your right guard and Tomlinson's your left guard, though. I think
Tomlinson.
I'm already willing to name three starting offensive linemen: Robinson at left tackle, Tomlinson at left guard, Titus at right guard. Center, I think, will be a battle. But I think that Patriots dude's going to win that battle.
I think, based on what they showed you just from the early on, I think Andrew's going to be the starting center.
And he had experience there with Kaylee too in New England. I think their times crossed. Yeah,
it was like an injury he was coming off of. That
yeah, I think he was like a fourth rounder. And I think the right tackle spot will be a battle. I think Andrews, Patterson, Scruggs will compete at center. I think Fisher and Ursary will compete at right tackle. And those two jobs are winnable. Maybe I'm sleeping on Scruggs at left guard a bit. Maybe that's not fair of me, but it's just. The way I'm reading the situation. Texter, we had the talent last year and sucked. I like the way we rebuilt the offensive line. Maybe this is just a bunch of Texans fans being homers, though, and maybe I'm a part of that. Like, that is possible.
Yeah, I have a tough time. I guess this is taking Joel's side of it more, but I have a tough time calling the offensive line rebuilt. It's different. You changed out the parts, but rebuilt to me means improve the talent, and I haven't seen where they improve the talent.
Okay.
Now, obviously, that opinion could change with results on the field, and then we could then classify it as rebuilt. But
talent doesn't always equal production.
System.
No, I know. Continuity. I'm not willing to call it rebuilt when you didn't improve the talent. Now, that's a preseason take. Obviously, willing to let it play out in the regular season.
But see, I don't think it's a great O-line on paper. They have to.
That's what I mean.
Produce what they look like on paper. We have one of the best secondaries in the league. With that being said, which one takes a step back this year? Reason why I ask that is because whenever a Houston team has something good going, there's always a step back the following year.
Man.
I think it'd be
Bullock.
Can Petrie count?
No.
Yeah,
why not?
Because I think he already took the step back.
Yeah, and he's also paid.
He got a new deal after taking the step back, in your words.
Yeah, he kind of took a – once they moved him, he kind of took a half step up.
I'm not as high on Petrie as the Texans are.
Well, me either.
I think that's unanimous.
We talked about, like,
Killer Bees are Petrie haters, and I hate that too because I like Jalen Petrie a lot, but I can't ignore that he can't cover, and he's a nickel who's covering slots. He's getting beat off the line by Devontae Adams, although Devontae Adams is really good.
It's one of the two rookies, right?
Taking a step back?
From last year.
I hope not.
I hope not either, but it's like, you know, because you remember coming out.
We'll say Jimmy Ward.
One was too slow, and the other one wasn't going to play
it. We could just say he aged out.
He's not going to start.
I don't know how much Jimmy Ward's going to play.
It might be Gardner Johnson.
It could be
Gardner Johnson. Like, I don't think it'll be Stingley, unless he's hurt, because he does have a history of injury.
Mm-hmm.
I like Lasseter. I'm a big Lasseter fan. Huge Lasseter
fan. I am, too.
I don't think he has, like, top five corner ceiling, But I think he has like top 15.
Maybe
ceiling.
That's good too, so you don't have to pay him top 5 money at a certain point. But I do believe that he's.
I don't know. Casario pays everybody.
You just have to pay.
That's true.
You have
well,
to
especially if he's a leader.
Texture, the Texans suck. I just want to see an offensive line that gets mad when someone knocks down their quarterback and crowds their guy after the play. Okay. He's going to give me trouble with Titus Howard again. Remember whenever I said that about Tunzel and people got mad at me?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And what thesaurus does rebuilt equate to improve? Ask Aaron.
I mean, if you had like, you look at teams across the league that just spend exorbitant amounts of money in free agency on offensive lines, you can rebuild it. I think the Chiefs have done a really good job rebuilding what at times was a less than offensive line, and also Mahomes helps.
Yeah. Geez, can we sign Sheriff to a 1-year deal and put him at left guard? Tomlinson at left guard is so gross. Yeah, I can hear that. Who's that?
Sheriff is still out there, right?
Ed Ingram was the other one. Like,
no, it's the guy. I like the Mexican guy. Martinez, is that his name?
And I'm Mexican.
I can't remember. I get him confused.
We're relying on Henderson.
No, Will Hernandez. Will Hernandez is a free agent.
Okay.
Yeah. He was pretty good last year. If they're going to sign one offensive lineman, I would like it to be Will Hernandez.
Okay.
Left guard, plays their naturally.
I thought you were talking about guys in-house that you were.
Oh, no. No, because he said sign Sheriff.
Okay. Because Ladarius Henderson's the guy they kept talking about early on that probably won't make the team.
From the O-line, they saw the problem and totally revamped it. To me, based on the previous Texans regimes, this is a big win. It may not work, but they are trying. I just hope they have
never,
fun out there.
Never quit.
That was the mentality of the Texans offensive line, building the offensive line this season, was never quit.
Right. Let's do it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey.
1 to 10.
You have a little party over there?
1 to 10. How good would the Texans
good, you have a little party?
1 to 10. What?
How good would the Texans offensive line be?
God. I hope a 6.
Yeah, you took my answer.
Yeah, I
would
I
say
a 6.
Six is not bad. I think they win a lot of games with the with
Where
a 6.
Are you at?
No, I'm at a 6 too, but I think they can go further with a 6 than y'all do.
It remains to be seen.
Sure, of course.
I mean, I just worry about, especially if they struggle early, what it does to CJ for the entire season.
Yeah, especially if he's got a boo-boo shoulder.
And they're trying to break in rookie wide receivers.
Yeah, but you still have Christian Kirk and Nico.
I know. I'm kind of on your side with this show. Like, I think 6, I don't know if 6 gets you into the top 4 in the AFC.
Yeah.
I think it's behind the Ravens.
They were top 4 in the AFC last year.
It's Buffalo,
it was.
Right?
I think you're behind Buffalo.
Top 4. They were top 4 last year with an awful offensive line.
Yeah, I just don't expect the Bengals to miss the playoffs again.
Okay.
I think the top 4 that would be ahead of them in that situation would be pretty obvious.
I'm excited for
Ravens,
season.
Chiefs, Bills.
Bengals.
Problem is, half of those teams that you mentioned have quarterbacks who can't win a Super Bowl.
Haven't won a Super Bowl.
And can't.
So
you're
going to
say that Lamar and Josh Allen can't?
Correct.
Okay. I know you wouldn't say that about your boy, Joe Burrow, since he locked eyes in the elevator.
Well, he's also been to a Super Bowl and was very close of winning a Super Bowl. If they would have won that Super Bowl, I would have got my recliner for free. Still ticked off about that.
What, the Mattress Mack had a deal for Joe Burrow?
Yeah, the AFC team.
Oh, okay.
He had a deal for the AFC team specifically.
Gotcha.
It wasn't the Bengals. It was the AFC team.
Right.
And we needed a chair because we needed one because my wife was about to have Brandon baby.
We did the same thing when we had.
So we were hoping that the AFC team would win the Super Bowl and get a free recliner. But the Bengals blew it. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Quarterback news today. AR-15's got a bum shoulder. AFC South, where shoulders go to die. Aaron Rodgers has a new team. And there's a quarterback in the NFL that is getting major love without playing an NFL snap. Not Shedeur Sanders. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Are you looking to escape the rat race for the weekend, the hustle and bustle of the job? Well, get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. I went out last week. I wish I was going again this week. A fantastic spot, not too far. I left after work last Friday, went straight up there, and I got there about 30 minutes after I would get home. So it's very, very close. 90 minutes from Houston, you can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. And look, if you're trying to get away for the weekend or get away for a few days, why would you waste a big chunk of that time driving 5 hours? hopping on a plane. No, you can get all you want at Lake Livingston in 90 minutes. Get more time out of your time away. Book your stay at TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com right now from Open Green Spaces. It is a beautiful spot. They got the Two Creeks there, great fishing spot. They have a little catch-and-release pond for the kiddos, too. They got a pool. They're building a lazy river. They had some live music while we were out there. I loved it. I can't wait to get back out there. But wildlife, we saw a bunch of that. I'm a big sucker and a big fan of beautiful, majestic trees. And we stayed in the treehouse, so we had a tree right through the through the house. And also mentioned some of the best fishing in Texas. Can't beat it. You're there in 90 minutes at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. 92 acres of property. Kayak the water. They have kayaks you can rent. Pickleball courts, if that's your thing, or just hang out by the pool with a drink. Two Creeks Crossing Resort loves to take care of their visitors. We had live music while we were there. They had the food trucks. Fantastic. Glamping, cabins, tree houses. Pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. Save 20% on your next two-night stay, Sunday through Thursday, on rentals for RV sites, yurts, cabins, and tents. Minimum of two nights, max of five. Book your stay now at TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.